This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, April 1st, 2010.
It is now 4:45. If the Assembly representatives can please take their seats, and you can call it, Brittany.
Shh. No, it's not.
Whatever. Please, record it. Here. He's here.
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 Yep.
Here.
Here.
Here. Moreno, unexcused. Oh.
Do you have another
question? Yeah.
Raps is coming late.
Yes.
Here.
Here.
Here. Ask me if you have any questions.
Okay. All right, now moving on to approval of the minutes. If anyone has any motions, there's been a call for acclamation. Seeing no dissent, the minutes have been approved. Now we'll move on to open microphone. If anyone from the audience wishes to address the assembly at any time, please step forward. Have Ms. Springbuck. You can use the microphone and introduce yourself. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
open it up. Representative Smith? Yeah, can you just touch on how the just-in-case policy applies to students and what incentives there are for students to apply for that? Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for coming. I know you have some slides, yeah. Now moving on to announcements and reports. Have a welcome back announcement. Welcome back. Have a calendar update. Provost Fox this week sent out a calendar, a tentative calendar for the next 5 years, and I'll send that out for you to review. And he wants feedback by the end of the semester, so we have some time on that. As far as the strategic plan goes, the Board of Trustees will be discussing that next Wednesday. And we were working on compiling a comprehensive student assembly response. And since the strategic plan has been released, there's been an additional goal included regarding promoting mental health and well-being. So I'm thinking maybe sometime this weekend any interested SA reps can get together and meet and just have a quick review and see what sort of recommendations we want to give when the Board of Trustees analyzes and scrutinizes. And now we have an Appropriations Committee update by VP Biz.
All right, so the Appropriations Committee considered SAFC appeals that were denied, groups for SAFC appeals that were denied on Tuesday, and the committee voted 9-0 to fund COLA $421 for its movie premiere. So that is a decision that has to be approved by the SA. Any questions or motions?
Motion to adopt the recommendation.
Is there any dissent?
Call for affirmation.
All right. Yeah. That was easy. Okay, on behalf of Representative Raps, who's going to be coming in a little late, I have a blue light announcement on Tuesday, April 6th, from 2 to 5 p.m. outside of Balch Arch. She and members of her Women's Issues Committee and hopefully any interested SA members will be distributing lollipops with blue light information attached to them for the safety of students, so more students are aware of it and will hopefully take advantage of it. We have an SIC announcement by Representative Buffer.
Okay. In case you don't know, the Student Innovation Council is an official SA committee that was started at the beginning of this year, and their purpose was outreach and to get more people involved in the process of drafting resolutions and that sort of thing, just solving other problems as with the official SA legitimacy. The leader, one of the two co-chairs, and apparently they both co-chairs are agreed on this, recently sent an email out to the SA Executive Board and the Daily Sun and others stating how they would like to go independent and break off from the SA. They don't feel as though we are helping them in any way. They think they could get their mission accomplished without being an SA committee. However, as of now, they are an SA committee. So I think that this is an issue that we should all be looking at, be dealing with, and I think that personally it's an important committee to have, and they do serve an important function, and it's something that we will be dealing with in the next coming weeks. So.
All right, thanks. Any questions, comments? No? Okay, we have an internal elections announcement by VP and...
all right, this is not the official announcement, but just yesterday we had our the first internal election meeting. We got through two positions, and so I'd like to congratulate Adam Gitlin for winning internal operations, Adam Nicoletti for winning VP of Finance.
Dining committee update? VP Lopez.
Hi, very quickly, on Tuesday, I met with the dining committee on North Campus. Many people couldn't be there because of the executive board meeting, but we had a good group from Brian Weinstein's lab, the Food and Brand Lab, and we discussed the renaming of a bunch of food items on campus. So you guys should start seeing things instead of spinach, fresh garden spinach, those types of things are going to be implemented on campus. But very exciting, renaming of hopefully some dining halls, and I'll keep you guys updated on that. But we will be, the point of this, we will be having another one at the end of the semester, and I really encourage you guys to attend. We will open up to as many students as possible, so, wait for an email on that. All right, have a great day.
That's a great day. We have a judicial council update by parliamentarians.
So I just wanted to let you know that right before spring break, the council held its first meeting, approved the bylaws, elected officers, and now is officially a campus institution. So thank you all for supporting the resolutions and helping to make that a reality.
Yep.
So now, moving forward, what's your timeline in terms of moving forward for the rest of the semester and then leadership for next year as well?
guess for the rest of the semester, it's going to be working with Chris on the creation of the honor code, establishment of a couple joint activities taking place at the start of next year, and for leadership changes, the bylaws were specified that would be a semester-long position, so transitions would take place naturally.
Cool.
And really quick on that note, I forgot, we're going to meet Saturday at noon to do honor code drafting and live cafe if you're interested. Thanks. Oh, well, that's great. Also, I keep coming back. So we're going to be meeting, we're going to be having an Appendix A review form. I'm going to email out to all the violent funded groups and anyone else who's interested in kibitzing the violent funding process in terms of how we did it and where we can improve the way the process ran. Although only positive things to say about this year. We're going to be having that next Tuesday at 5 o'clock in place of exec. So I guess we'll be doing that maybe in a new location if it's bigger.
Okay.
Or we'll see. It depends.
I'll send out again.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. But anyway, next Tuesday.
Now, I guess just to put it on your calendars, I think the April 22nd essay meeting, we'll try to move that to maybe a new location, North Campus or something. Oh, do you want to add it?
No.
Okay. And we have the Ad Hoc Public Service Committee announcement from Representative Gitlin.
Thank you. We're creating a, and I think I mentioned this to a lot of people, we're creating a guideline right now. If anyone knows some artistically talented people to help out with layout or design for the book, shoot me an email with
I'll be passing around a sheet for office hours for the upcoming week around, and just something else to add to your calendars. Next week, Mayor Carolyn Peterson, nice hat, Justin, will be visiting us to have questions. And on April 29th, President Scorton, along with Vice President Susan Murphy, will be visiting us. So hopefully you guys will have some questions for them. I think now we'll move on to new business. Resolution. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Representative Vax.
Okay. So I heard that really spoke on my behalf. Thank you so much. I'm just going to pass around an extremely ghetto version of a sign-up sheet for the Tuesday, April 6th edition. It's from 2 to 5 p.m. And also, you can either do the Bulge Arts or the Olin Library.
I think, no, by ghetto, she just, no. To qualify that, yeah. She just means a little disheveled, unorganized. That's fine. Alright. New business.
Great. Resolution 64. UA undergraduate representative application
We're
process.
We're cutting that. Don't worry.
Can you send me a copy? I'll give any 5 minutes.
Essentially, that's what the mission was. I'm taking too much to rely on one of the bodies.
would I want to be admitted to the university assembly, or will the DS pay me more than me, and should I wait for a potential opening for that much?
Okay, thanks. I'll open up the speakers list. Yeah.
My main issue with this resolution, and I guess it dates back to the original resolution, which I experienced, you know, personally, but it's that it equates the UA to the SS in some sense. You run for an SS position, and all of a sudden you're offered a seat on this other assembly that you didn't run for. And in case you don't know, and I assume the overwhelming majority of this room has not been to a UA meeting, the University Assembly is a constituent assembly. And every other, you know, graduate student, the faculty senate, the employee assembly, they send their elected representatives to the University Assembly because it's a constituent assembly. I think that a better solution would be, you know, you run for an essay position opens up, you're guaranteed to get it. Now, if there are no runners-up in a UA election, if there's a vacancy on the UA and we need to fill it, which is what the original resolution was passed for, then we should be able to do it via an internal essay election.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to step in really quick. Because this is a new business, it's only going to be questions. So.
Okay. You think we could perhaps, for the next meeting, make it so that it's filled by an internal essay election, another UA vacancy, if a UA vacancy occurs, then we'll remember to vote? The question.
I think how it was prior to the amendment of the charter was that we would solicit applications from students within the university at large in general student body, and then we would internally decide among those applications. So are you suggesting that we shouldn't select from the
right? I mean, we all got elected, so it would be more representative if we chose someone who was elected by the students.
Okay, I guess my response to that would be, you got elected by your, some people may have gotten elected to their specific college or constituency, but having an actualized representative from their law student.
So if we want
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut off there, it's been 2 minutes. Next up on the list is Representative Danger.
This is more of a question for Carlos and Karen. I'm just wondering if the language would be the appropriate language to do with what the intent of the resolution is. Because I could definitely see it being read as the higher rate of non basically, the person who would be qualified in both of these things is not qualified for either of these fees, which would be a problem. I just want to make sure that the language is clear.
I'm sorry, could you just say the last? Next up on the list is VP Andrews.
Yeah, so as long as we're looking at this, re-looking at this charter change, what if, like, for example, here we have no, under next assembly, we have no undesignated at-large candidates runner-ups, unlike you were elected, where there are a lot of candidates who are undesignated at large. So would it be worth putting in a clause, maybe saying then we'll move to the minority representative and international representative? They're technically at-large representatives, and the entire student body, LGBTQ as well, the entire student body elects them.
They're not undesignated.
They're not undesignated, but they still are at-large. So after all the undesignated seats are unfilled, would it be perhaps worth going to the next, I guess, category, because these are people who did run an election, were voted by all students at Cornell because they are running at large seats. Is it worth putting in a clause and figuring out which order we want to put it in?
I think that's something
we And the way we could potentially do it is go by highest vote winner. So it would be the highest vote getter of the next of the designated at-large seats, perhaps, or something.
Point of information, isn't, if you were to do something like that, because there are separate contests, if, say, there are two people running for LGBTQ, and there are 10 people running for minority, those votes get divided up a lot more because of the difference in the contest.
40% percent as well.
Okay, let's just keep on track here. There's nobody else left on the speaker list?
Yeah.
Oh, did you answer?
No.
Oh, go for it.
So, I didn't talk about that, but I think in the rare scenario that no undead at large rep from the FA or UA exists, then I think it should be referred to an application process, because I think it would be difficult to prioritize an international or minority.
What else are from this whole thing? Alright, the speakers list has been exhausted, so unless anybody else wants to speak, we'll move on.
Motion amendment?
I will refer to Parliamentary Cohen.
Cannot move to make an amendment until the motion itself has been formally presented to the Assembly and seconded and stated by the Chair. So, in which case, unless one of you wants to take it to business of the day, then only Rami currently has the ability to do that.
Thank you.
We'll work.
I guess we'll table this for next week.
Say again? I don't think so.
Good.
No, no, people ask questions. Okay?
Wait,
VPN.
You want this as this is the day, or do you want to wait for next week?
I'd rather wait.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, all right.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Okay, go ahead, Miller.
Whether or not. So that in turn that's what affects people's ability to
Vivian Kumar.
So this is a really good, like, I know that, you know, the Sun was concerned about this. I know a lot of SA people are concerned about this. So this is a great topic to tackle. I just wanted to just clarify. So the Student Disability Services is within the Dean of Students Office. Is that where, like, our jurisdiction
is? It is. As far as I know, it's within
the campus. Campus, okay. All right. Okay, and that's completely within our...
Yeah.
And the other question, yeah, so I guess moving forward for next week, you know, in the document, like, if there is a specific policy, it may help just to, like, spell out exactly what you want the change to read. So instead of, you know, giving them discretion to do it, you might as well just spell out exactly what you guys want, and then that way it goes into...
Right.
So.
If you have a policy, that
we're
not one.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So I think that what everything that I saw
okay.
But there is no
okay. I see. Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Anyone else? Questions? You said you want to wait until next week on both of these. All right. Thanks. Now we're moving on to Resolution 67, endorsing the Public Higher Education Empowerment Innovation Act.
What? Right now?
Motion. Okay. All right, so there's been a motion to move this to business of the day. Second, no dissent. Great. Business of the day. So, ask away.
Talk away.
Okay, you guys, 5 minutes to introduce, and then I'll open it up.
Right, and the recommendation that we have for it to be 1.5 times the 5-year-old higher education.
Great. So I'll open it up to speak of this. You guys are done. Actually, a quick question. So do you know if the SUNY Board of Trustees has... I mean, this is at the state legislative level, right? I guess the SUNY Board of Trustees doesn't have anything to do with this policy. The New York State Assembly?
No, okay.
All right.
So, just to double check, so this would only apply to the contract colleges? The lingering colleges? Okay. So, my other question is, so obviously, you know, throughout the financial crisis, one of the things we've heard from the university is they're trying as much as they can to restrain tuition increases. So, I mean, you know, as I guess Representative Danzer said, so, you know, the whole point of this is you're exchanging a policy where universities try to increase tuition, like, with respect to how much money they need in their operating budget, with a policy where universities are just going to be increasing tuition by pretty much the same amount every year, regardless of whether they really need the increase. Because by setting a cap, you're not allowing universities to be responsive to, like, their current needs. You're basically forcing them to plan out several years in advance how much tuition they're going to need down the road. I think this is just going to contribute to education inflation rather than reduce it. I'm not talking about I'm talking about Cornell specifically. So basically, though, that this limits our ability to increase tuition in response to that to only one and a half times the average. I see what you're saying. I thought this was says increasing in tuition, not increasing in state funding. Where's the funding part,
yeah,
though?
That's
right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess going back to what I originally said, I don't think this is flexible enough, and I wouldn't support voting for this.
I'm sorry, is that part of the SUNY 2020, like the idea that each individual like SUNY campus can change tuition by itself?
I'm not sure what the SUNY 2020 is, but if you go to the SUNY, you look at the bill and that's what it's about. And also, basically what this is until the 2010-2011 academic year, students are enrolled in the same institution. For students with IPD, they take a uniform rate of tuition, except for out-of-state.
Great. Speakers list, I don't have anybody else on the speakers list, so unless somebody wants to speak. Great. Yeah, so it's business of the day right now. So I guess. All right. So there's a motion to table this until next week. Is there a second? There's a second. All right. Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. So unless there's any dissent, we will table this until next week. Now resolution 68, allowing decorations on chain link fences on campus bridges.
Motion to move to business.
There's a motion to move to business of the day. Second. Just repeat that real quick.
Yeah. So striking that no posters of any kind shell and replacing it with no memorabilia of any type pertaining to specific individuals, including but not limited to.
Hang on. One second.
Just
no memorabilia of any type pertaining to specific individuals. So no memorabilia of any type pertaining to specific individuals, including but not limited to posters and photographs.
And in the first video, four results were striking out the last sentence of the field. So it says, decorative incarnation to the grid on children and families on campus, provided that. So we're striking everything out from do not. We're striking out the phrase do not make mention of specific individuals by name or image. And so we're just going to essentially just move back to the marketing
okay.
And we're keeping do not restrict.
All right, so I have be it therefore resolved that the student assembly encourages the university to allow ribbons, plastic flowers, stuffed animals, and any other decorative incarnation to be placed on chain link fences on campus bridges, provided that they do not restrict the pedestrian flow of traffic on the bridges. Be it finally resolved that no memorabilia of any type pertaining to specific individuals, including but not limited to posters and photographs, shall be permitted to be displayed on the chain link fences. Great. I'm sorry. All right. So first on the speaker's list, Representative Lucia.
Go to the department and request.
that business?
So there are three businesses owned by Ithaca, four by the city of Ithaca, one owned by Thurston, and two Stewart Avenues owned by the city. And I think what this resolution means to do is cover all
the
Yeah, and the rest of the other four are owned by the university. So I guess they would have more leeway, but I think if a general announcement was made to the university and the district just to leave them alone, it would do
Right. And I just one concern I would have is if we started to allow decoration on fences, it might extend the time the fences are up. And quite honestly, personally, I would rather have just the museum to gorge us back than just set it to be decorated fences.
So they've already said that they've already said that the fences that are up right now are already like they just made that they're going to be here for the end of the semester, and that like for sure this stuff is going to address alternative needs. So in that sense, like, I guess that's where you're coming from, but I don't think that a couple classes of power are going to make those meet one part of the semester, so they've already stated that they definitely time to address the change the situation by the way.
Okay, well,
Great. Next, Representative Rao. Next is VP Basil.
Yeah, I think this is great. So, is there anyone else to speak?
Yeah, Min and Caitlin.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call a question.
Second.
Sorry. Any dissent? All right, we'll go ahead and vote on this. I guess we'll do a hand vote. Is there? Oh, 2 minutes.
Community.
Oh, community, right, yeah. So all in the community that are in favor of this, please raise your red cards if you have one. Or raise your hand. Sure. Great. So all in the community that are in favor of this, please raise red cards.
Three.
All right, all against? All right, so the community gets two votes in favor. So All those on the SA in favor of this, please raise your hands. Hi. All right, good. All against? Two. All right, so by a vote of 19 to 2, including community members, oh, abstentions, I mean,
that's one.
One. All right, 19 to 2 to 1, this passes.
Very discoordinated clapping going on. I think that's all for the agenda, unless anyone else has anything to say. Meeting will be adjourned. And we're moving into executive session, so just hang tight real quick. We'll go to a round table.
What did you say? What did you say?
Executive session. I don't know what we're talking about.
It's at the bottom of the agenda, man. You gotta read these things.
Very, very few times.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.